So I have a confession to make, and the confession is this. I am only going to be using the first three words in that text. In the beginning. But a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, he would tell, you know, the scripture reader to read the entire text so that people who came to church can say, they cannot say they didn't hear a word. So if the sermon isn't what you expected it to be, you heard a word. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this new year. And thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather in worship. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to do something crazy, but Linda, will you please close this door right here? Because there's noise coming in from there. Several years ago, there was a TV show on that was called Starting Over. Any of you remember that TV show? It really captivated my attention because it had this transformative journey. The cast of the show consisted of a group of women, each at different places in their walks in life, and they were coming together to make extraordinary changes in their life. Some of them had been in abusive relationships, some of them had been divorced, some of them were battling drugs or mental illness. It was all over the spectrum. And it was led by a psychologist, and it was led by a life coach, Ayanla Van Satt. And they really embarked on this quest to redefine their lives and to overcome some of the challenges that they had faced. This story pushed me to think, could you and I achieve the same thing in our lives? Can we redefine our lives? Can we start over? I would imagine that most of us, especially at this time of the year, entertain the thought of starting over, of beginning anew. As we anticipate the start of a new year that brings with it new calendars, new pages on the ledger of our financial ledger, new classes to attend, new officials. Whoa, God, if we could just get some new officials in government. New resolves in our personal lives, new desire to start over and experience a new beginning. The beginning of a new year for many is a time of rejoicing. The old year, with all of its pitfalls and all of its problems, is in the past, even if there is leftover junk in the trunk. We want to believe that a new year is full of promise, a new year is full of possibility, a new year is full of prospect, and a new year is full of potential. But as we think about our own new beginning this year, I wonder today, and I challenge us to take a few moments and ask ourselves to consider the following questions. Are we brave enough to really want to start new? Am I brave enough to really want to start new? Am I ready to try living and loving with a heart, with my soul, with my mind, and with my strength? Is my faith strong enough for me to really, really trust God, trust the Holy Spirit, trust others that God bring into my life to lead me away from the hurts and away from the fears that have held me back for many years, away from the darkness and away from the bad choices, the bad luck, and the bad news? You see, sometimes we think we need a significant occasion like a new year to start afresh. But the truth is, any moment can be a moment to begin anew. I want you to repeat these words after me. I don't need a new year.
I don't need a new
To have a new beginning. I can have a new beginning every day. You don't need a new year to have a new beginning. We can have a new beginning every single day. Sometimes waiting for the right time often serves as a delay. For some, it serves as an excuse that holds us back from making meaningful changes in our life right now, in this moment. What time is it, Ron? At 5:20, January 4th, 2026. In this very moment, we can seize the moment and we can start anew. This moment, shaking off the distractions, shaking off the excuses, and choosing in this moment, 5:21, as our fresh start. We all know our weaknesses. We all know the false narratives, even the lies that we tell ourselves. We all know how we say, tomorrow will be different. My willpower will be stronger. Our lives will be better, happier, and healthier if only you fill in the blank. We like the concept of change, but sometimes the hoped for change withers in the early morning when life actually begins. With all of its fears and with all of its problems, we had yesterday, we start the next day with the same fears and the same problems. We wake up with the alarm clock, ignoring the promises that we had made just a few hours ago. The coffee sits on the table, half finished, and we rush to respond to emails, we rush to respond to text messaging, distracting us from our plans to embrace something new. I want to start new. I want to do something better. I want to be healthier. And it's disappointing when we make plans for a new life, but nobody else gets the memo. That first day of the diet is the day that somebody brings my favorite cake and my favorite cookie to the office. The first day of the exercise program is the day that it rains. I ain't going to the gym on that, and I ain't going out in that. The first day of the healthier habits that we try is the time that we are tempted the most, and then we are discouraged. The first day that we commit to adjusting our attitude, the person that gets on our last nerve sits right next to us in church. But it's inspiring to know that when we promise God that, God, today I'm going to be different. That today I'll truly act with love, even for the person sitting next to me. Today I won't let doubt creep in. It's reassuring to know that God hears those prayers. Do we sometimes think that we're too weak? Sometimes we think our faith is not enough. And we assume that God understands, and perhaps that God even expects us to fall and make mistakes. When we inevitably struggle, it's comforting to believe that God will understand and forgive us. Consider if this self-doubt becomes a recurring cycle in our life, which keeps us from ever trying and doing better. It is what it is. I might as well not try. Think about the new starts in the Bible. Noah. Noah was just an ordinary guy, chosen by God to build an ark for humanity. Moses had some big mistakes. Some say he was an alcoholic, but he was chosen to lead a nation. David was a shepherd boy that rose up to be a king, but David had some skeletons in his closet. The prophets were just simple people chosen out of nowhere with no speaking skills, and yet they spoke for God. And what about the disciples? the fishermen, who left everything to follow a man they rarely knew. Can't you just hear their family saying to those disciples, hey, where are you going? You don't even know him. What's going to happen to us at home? What are we going to do? I must confess that when I read the Bible sometimes, I desire to more consistently exhibit the kind of faith and trust and vision that I see in the Bible, that makes sense out of the tough decisions and entrust even the smallest details of my life into the hand of God. But before the weight of my own shortcomings pull me down, I find solace in God's unwavering acceptance. I find hope in God's grace. I find hope in God's compassion. It's comforting to know that despite my faltering steps, that God's love remains steadfast. Honestly, I wonder what it would mean to do that every moment of every day. Well, what would it mean to think about God's love and God's grace, to devote every ounce of my being in loving the way God loves, loving others the way God loves me? What would that look like? I want to start this new year as a new beginning, a new opportunity to step out of fear and into faith and stay in consistent contact. Constant contact. Isn't that something that we use? I want to stay in constant contact with God. I want to stay in constant contact with family. I want to stay in contact, constant contact with friends. My resolve is simple yet profound: to embrace hope, to embrace love. By focusing on this, I hope to make the most of every single divine appointment that has been arranged for me, to show people who are heartbroken and hungry and homeless the love of God. You see, on our own, we sometimes fail. Left to our own resources, we can soon run empty on our tank. But what if we stop trying to fit a new life into old clothes? What if we took a fresh new look at how to teach, how to preach, how to pray, how to love, how to serve, how to be compassionate, and how to minister to others? What if we took a new look at that? Lyle Shaler is a church planner who made a killing and a living teaching churches how to grow and telling them, this is what he told them. I went to several of his seminars. He said that they need a big ministry in a small building. Sometimes we look at the ministry here at Encino, Bethel Encino, and we say, we're so small, but we can be small and mighty. They need a big ministry in a small building. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. There was a story I heard about a partnership, and I'm casting visions here for the year. The tale of a church that joined forces with a Christian venture, stood side by side. The collaboration transformed their old building that was being underused into a vibrant community center, a worship space that really became a beacon of hope in a struggling neighborhood. A big ministry in a small space. That's just one example. A community organization, action organization that I know of, partnered with a Latino congregation to grow food. You know those little food gardens that they have? I don't know the exact name for them, but people, what do you call them? Community gardens. And everybody in the community worked to pull the weeds, and they provided nutritious vegetables at a low cost to the people in the community. This I shared with the congregation earlier this morning, that a congregation leveraged their parking lot. That's what this church did. You all know that, right? Presbyterian, First Presbyterian Church used to own all that land back there. All that, where the apartment complex, they used to own all that. They sold all that to get money for ministry here. The congregation in Hawthorne that I'm a part of, they have this huge parking lot. I said, what if y'all thought about using that parking lot to build some affordable housing right here next door to your church and meet a need for people? New beginnings. New beginnings. A few weeks from now, we will rightly celebrate, as Kenya pointed out, the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And his I Have a Dream, you probably heard it so much you get tired of it. Because he had more speeches than I Have a Dream. Yet the call in that speech is a call for a new life. What he was trying to get America and the world to see is that shared vision of regarding people as God's creation, regardless of their skin, regardless of their socioeconomic status, regardless of their religion, regardless of their gender. A new life. To leave the old behind and find a new way of living together in peace. It's a message that it never gets tired of hearing. Maybe as we start this new year, maybe you and I can renew a spirit of hope and a promise, a spirit of being able to do anything that God calls us to do. Maybe we can take some concrete steps in this church, a big ministry in a small space. Maybe we can take some steps on calling some people that we haven't seen in a while. Tell them, I missed you. Saying a daily prayer, talking about new beginnings for somebody other than your family, someone other than yourself. Maybe by focusing on specific actions, we can spend less time reliving what we have already been through and more time envisioning what God has ahead for us. We need the faith God gives us to make a fresh start, a new beginning. In the beginning, a fresh start on the path chosen for us and awaiting for us. Instead of making excuses about today and not being a good day, maybe we can say, what opportunities does God have for me today? Have you heard the quote? A hero, and I'll add shero, is nothing more than a coward who holds out 5 minutes longer. What if together we can become a community of heroes and sheroes? Learning to trust, learning to love, learning to care for each other. We can pray for new day opportunities rather than new day problems. As a friend of mine, Ralph Carlson, used to say, each day that we are vertical and can inhale and exhale. So I want you to do something. I just want you to stand up. Those of you at home in Skype world or Zoom world, you can stand up too. We can't see you. But then I want you to inhale. Close your eyes and just inhale. Take one breath in. Hold it for a few seconds and let it out. Do that again. And the third time. You may be seated. Each day that you and I can do that, there is delivered to our doorstep a new package. You know what it's called? Today. So my question is, what are you going to do with that opportunity? That's given to us to make something new of today. With the tools, the skills, we have already been blessed. You don't have to pray for no more blessing. I don't have to pray for any more blessings. What are we going to do with that gift of today to make a difference in someone else's life? We usually have no problems imagining what could go wrong. We usually have no problems imagining what resources are needed or what resources are lacking. We have no problems saying why the project is doomed to fail and what will go wrong in the end. But what if we shifted all of that energy to consider what could brilliantly go right? What resources might come along and surprise me? What unexpected support will I receive from an unknown person to help me overcome this struggle or to maneuver through this landfill? What innovative solutions are emerging that I'm not aware of? What perseverance can I muster up to go through the challenges that I'll face? Behold, scripture says, I make all things new. You know where that's found? It's found in the last book of the Bible. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Revelation 21, behold, I make all things new. From the beginning, God created with newness in life. The God of the Bible is not a God of dead ends, but the God of the Bible is a God of new beginnings. Preach, Kenneth, I'm trying to. That's the God that is in the scriptures that we read, we believe, we preach and teach. It's not a God of dead ends, but a God of new beginnings. No matter what the darkness is around us, no matter what the darkness is above us, no matter what the darkness is within us, God of the Bible is a God of new beginnings. God has the ability to bring light upon us, life through us, and a new beginning inside of us. Genesis is about new beginnings. The God who created the world invites you and me to take a pilgrimage of faith. Help us start over in the beginning. In the beginning. So I close with this little story. There's a well-known hair salon franchise that went into this small town, we'll say, I like to pick on, Davenport, Iowa. Because it's such a quaint little town. I mean, I have family that lives there. They went into Iowa and they put their barbershop salon right across the street from this well-established mom-and-pop haircut place. They'd been there for 45 years. And then this new salon had all of the marketing money, and they put this huge sign out in the front, and it says, we give $7 haircuts, undercutting the price of that established business. Now, that business had been in existence for 30 plus years, and they're like, we can't compete with a $7 haircut. So they put their own sign out front. It wasn't this big glamorous sign. It was really handwritten. And they taped it onto the glass of their shop and they said, "We fix $7 haircuts." You may say, "Well, Kenneth, what do you know about haircuts?" I'm told that undoing a bad haircut is not always possible. Sometimes even getting a new haircut just makes matters worse. You just have to wait until it grows back. While that might be true for a haircut, a daily new beginning is possible in your life and in my life. Today, this fourth day of 2026, as you and I anticipate all of the challenges, you be making up stuff in our head that don't even happen. We be worrying about stuff. I go to the hospital and visit people and they say, "Well, I think it's cancer, I think it's terminal." I say, "Where you get all that information from? Why don't you wait to worry?" I tell people, every hospital call, "Why don't you wait until the doctor comes in and says, this is it, and this is the final," they wait to, and then even then, it don't even matter because you need to trust. As we anticipate all of the challenges, all of the opportunities that this new year will bring, what I want to invite you to do, and what I want to invite you to remind me to do, is stand ready for a fresh start. Stand ready for a new beginning. Why don't you just envision that just for a moment? Just think about what that new beginning could look like for you. I'm not asking you to map out the course, but what would it look like for you to embrace a new attitude, a new direction in your life? C.S. Lewis said it this way: "With God, there are better things ahead than any of the things that we left behind." Can you envision a new beginning for your life, for your family, for this church? Let's pray. God, we thank you that you were there in the beginning, and you were there in the middle. You were there at the end, and you're going to be there at the new beginning. Because that's the kind of God we serve, that will give us a beginning, a middle, an end, and then a new beginning. Help us to embrace this very moment in our life. Seize the moment. We pray. Amen.